Welcome to the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. My name is Natalie Nidham. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology to ancestral health practices, personalized interventions, and a very special interest of mine, peptides. Enjoy the show.
Hey folks, welcome back to the show. We have a great episode for you today, and it's all about healing injuries and how sometimes injuries aren't what we think they are, or where they're not coming from where we think they're coming from, and the solution can be a little bit different than what we imagine. But before we jump into that, I of course would love to thank you for being here and for listening to the podcast, for following us. It makes all the world of difference to me. The other thing that makes all the world of difference to me is the comments that I get from you guys and the reviews that those of you leave. If you're feeling inspired about after this episode, then please make sure to leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and also share it out with your network, with your friends, your family, anybody who you think would also get benefit from the episode. And last but not least, if you want to keep in touch with me, and maybe if you want to see if we can maybe meet up in person sometime, make sure to head over to natnidham.com, sign up for my newsletter. And at the end of that newsletter, we always have a section about live events. I'd love to meet you guys at one of the events I'm heading to out to at the beginning of this year. There'll be Hack Your Health in Austin, Texas at the end of May, and also the Health Optimization Summit. If you're happen to be one of the listeners that's over the pond or happen to be heading over to London in June, mid-June, I'll be speaking at the Health Optimization Summit there. All right, let's thank our sponsors, talk a bit about the episode, and then jump right in. So let's start by talking about one of the most important molecules in your body that really helps you to age well. And what I'm talking about, of course, is NAD. Supporting NAD levels helps our bodies to support youthfulness in so many ways, including creating energy, maintaining healthy DNA, detecting and using nutrients efficiently, as well as protecting your cellular health. But as it turns out, like all good things, they start to decline around our 30s and 40s, and those NAD levels really start to drop. So it would be a good idea to start to think about supporting NAD levels as of now. There are also certain ingredients called NAD precursors, which your body can readily convert into NAD. And these things are niacin, niacinamide, as well as niagen, which is also known as NR, or nicotinamide riboside. I absolutely love a formula that just came out within the last year, which you may have heard me talk about, called Qualia NAD. It's super unique because it has all three of these crucial precursors, along with 11 other ingredients that facilitate and support NAD production as fully as anything on the market, which can ultimately boost your NAD levels up to 50%. And we can feel this because I can tell you that if you try to take this too late in the day, it's not going to do wonders for your sleep. You need to take it in the morning when you need that energy. So Qualia NAD is the most multidimensional support for NAD levels you'll find anywhere. It's also vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, and if you're over the age of 35, beginning to take it now will be one of the best things you can ever do for your aging process and ultimately for your longevity, which is what we're all about here. So you can try Qualia NAD Plus risk-free for 100 days. Just go to neurohacker.com/Natalie, and that's Natalie with an H, N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E, and make sure to use code Natalie for 15% off your order. All right, let's talk a little bit about this episode. Have you ever experienced an injury that just won't seem to heal no matter what you do? Well, it may be time to look beyond the site of pain and consider the involvement of other tissues like fascia and nerves and the role that they may be playing in that pain. In this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast, I chat with Charlie Cates about MAT, or otherwise known as muscle activation technique, which is a unique approach to addressing pain and injury by focusing on the activation of inhibited muscles. I discovered this modality years ago, and I've been wanting to record a podcast on it forever. And wasn't I pleasantly surprised when I discovered that Charlie Cates is a student of the master trainer that I actually saw many, many years ago. So how it works is through targeted isometric contractions or manual stimulation, MAT aims to restore efficient muscle contraction, allowing the body to better withstand external forces and protect itself from pain and injury. This is a modality that's actually used by a lot of professional athletes. We talk about MAT and how it compares to other modalities and the fact that MAT definitely recognizes that the source of the problem very often is not where we think it is. So we offer advice on the benefits of MAT, how it can increase longevity and physical freedom by helping to heal and prevent long-term neck injuries so that you can keep engaged in your favorite activities. So we're going to talk about all this stuff. A little bit about Charlie is that he graduated from Northeastern Illinois University, where he earned a Master of Science degree in exercise science, and he specializes in helping his clients and community live healthier and stronger lives through exercise that is sustainable and pain-free. And of course, he is a certified muscle activation technique practitioner and is one of Chicago's most sought-after specialists for muscle and joint issues. You can find more information about Charlie by going to www.exerciseforlifestudios.com. So he actually sees people in person. And this is one thing about Matt. You got to find a practitioner. And you can also find him on Instagram at Charlie Cates, and Cates is with a C. And to find a Matt practitioner near you, you can go to muscleactivation.com. All right, one more sponsor to thank and we're rocking and rolling. Do you take high doses of single minerals like magnesium, calcium, or zinc and think that they're doing the whole job for you? So if you do and you don't take anything else, you may actually be doing your body more harm than good by creating innate imbalances. Minerals are fantastic for you, and most of us don't get enough. In fact, a 2022 study by the CDC found that more than 97% of Americans are mineral deficient. That's pretty much everyone. So taking a mineral supplement is definitely a good idea. The trouble is that your body almost never uses one mineral at a time. Minerals work in pairs or in groups, and taking high doses of just a single mineral, like a daily anything capsule, can actually cause you to deplete other minerals, leading to bigger problems down the line. This is why I love Beam Minerals. They make a full spectrum mineral supplement that gives you every essential mineral your body needs in the right ratios with close to 100% bioavailability. Beam Minerals restores all your minerals at once, so you don't have to worry about mineral imbalances. And best of all, you can take Beam Minerals in about 30 seconds a day. It's a 1 ounce shot of liquid, so you don't need a cabinet full of pills and powders. And actually, you don't even have to worry about this. I'm pretty taste sensitive. This does pretty much taste like water. So you can replenish your mineral stores the easy way. Just get 20% off at beamminerals.com by using the code NAT20. And now let's jump into the episode.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider.
Welcome to the show, Charlie Cates. I'm super excited for this conversation today.
Natalie, thank you so much. I'm very excited as well.
Yeah, no, well, you know, we had one of those warm-up conversations before the podcast, and it's funny. I think this is one of those where you kind of show up saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to go in, we're going to talk about this. And then I was like, oh, you know, do we really have to talk about that? And then I found mention in your bio and in your, in your materials that you practice something called MAT, otherwise known as muscular activation technique. And that's when I freaking lit up like a Christmas tree, because I've been wanting to do a podcast about this forever. And we have a common acquaintance. Well, he's an acquaintance for me, probably, you know, more of a colleague and friend for you.
Absolutely.
In Eric Seifert. And I had been trying to pin him down to a podcast for the longest time. And he's a bit of a bouncing ball, that guy. He's all over the place. So I'm super grateful to have gotten you on the podcast, because I think you've worked with him quite a lot and you're in that space. And I do think it's one of those modalities that not enough people know about, nor, frankly, are there enough people doing it. So maybe as a starting point, we should start with, where did this all start? Like, have you always been an MAT practitioner, or did you start somewhere else and make your way over?
Great question. So my focus all growing up was sports performance. I played basketball from, you know, as long as I can remember, all the way through my senior season of college. And my goal, my desire, my dream was to have my own sports performance facility working with athletes. And so that's what my summer internships were all about, sports performance. That's what my mindset was all about, bigger, stronger, faster. I graduate college and I finished playing college basketball. And by the time I finished playing college basketball, my body was wrecked. It was just broken. Now, I never had any like major injuries growing up, knock on wood, no torn ACLs, no, you know, no ruptured ligaments, anything like that. Okay. But I had a number of sprained ankles, things that would keep me out for just a period of time. But, you know, then I tie my shoes tighter, brace it up, tape it up and get back to playing. But at 22 years old, by the time I finished college, playing college basketball, my body just hurt. It was so tight, especially the right side of my body. Anyways, I did what I could based on what I knew as far as like stretching and foam rolling and everything else to try to help things loosen up and just feel better. But it wasn't working. Anyways, I get into personal training in downtown Chicago. And the first gym that I worked at, there were two practitioners there. MAT practitioners, I should say. And so I kept asking them like what they're doing. Cause I see them going to the back of the gym. They're doing this weird, like pseudo stretching thing with their clients. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, we're doing mat. I'm like, well, what is mat? And so eventually one of them just said, you know what, just lie down on the table. Let me show you. And so I got on the table and I was super disconnected from my body. Meaning, yeah, I was big and fast and strong and everything like that. But I wasn't really aware of my body. So he would check different motions on me and I couldn't really tell if like one side was moving different than the other. He kind of was testing some things in my hip and my foot. And I didn't really know what was happening as far as like whether something was weak or strong. But as he was working through my system, all these light bulbs start going off in my head because my senior season of college basketball, I had this idea that in order to get an athlete's body to perform at their highest level, all I really needed to do from a training and coaching perspective was just get their body working the way it was supposed to work. I felt like so many people were beating themselves up with overtraining and improper nutrition and not enough recovery and sleep, that if I could just get somebody's body working the way it was supposed to work, they would be able to perform at a much higher level than everybody else. So as he's working this practitioner is working through my system, again, all these light bulbs start going off because I realize that all he's trying to do is get my muscles to work the way they're supposed to work. And I'm like, this is it. This is the thing. Now, I'd never seen MAT before. I'd never heard of it before. But like from that moment, I was like, okay, this is amazing. Because I was like, all right, this is going to be the tool that I can use to help get somebody's body working the way it's supposed to work. That was my start into MAT as far as my exposure. That was 2010. I started taking the classes in 2011. And it's just been nonstop, straightforward ever since. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So let's, people are sitting there scratching their heads going, what the heck is MAT and what does it stand for? It's muscular activation technique, but
yeah.
And I don't know if I have this right, but my impression or what I took away from some of the work that I did with Eric is that it's accessing the nervous system to properly activate the muscles in the way that they need to be activated. So maybe you could do a better job of describing it than I can, but
No, you're right on. Okay. So if you think about, as we go through our lives, there are stresses that our body incurs, okay? Physical stresses, you know, such as injuries or, you know, working out or whatever. It's a stress to our system. Chemical stresses as far as what we're putting into our body. Mental, emotional stresses, okay? All of this has the opportunity to cause some kind of disruption with our nervous system, okay? And so we can see that with, you know, changes in heart rate variability and everything like that, right? Okay, so when there are these disruptions with the nervous system, that can then lead to disruptions with how the muscles are contracting, okay? And when this happens enough over time, our bodies start to compensate and they start to compensate around muscles that aren't working well enough and start to overutilize the muscles that are working well in order to like take stress off of or work around the muscles that aren't working well enough. Okay. So with MAT, what we're going and doing is we're trying to assess to see where these muscles are that aren't working well enough. And then we go and we restore their ability to contract efficiently by restoring that signal from the nervous system to the muscles. in a way, like Greg Roscoff, the developer of MAT, he talks about it like kind of tightening loose battery cables on your car. So you can have a giant engine, but if the battery cables are loose, you're not able to access that horsepower. You're not able to access that torque. You tighten the battery cables, and now all of a sudden, everything that you've built into the engine is immediately accessible. And that's what we see as MAT as well.
Nice. That's a great analogy. But although unlike a car where if the engine's not working, the engine's not working, in the body, I think what's really interesting is if your quad, let's say, is not firing properly or all aspects of the quad aren't firing the way they should, you've either got other parts of the muscle or other muscles that are going to kind of try to jump in and compensate for that deficiency, which really is what creates layers of dysfunction that show up as what you were talking about, like tightness or injuries, and predisposes people to having injuries over and over again, right? And
yes,
I'm sure that happens in the professional arena as it does with our weekend warrior person who's just going to the gym a couple of times a week. Like,
No, for sure. I mean, we think about like, well, if clients come in, it'll be like, or going through their health history, they'll be like, yeah, I sprained my ankle, but you know, that was like 20 years ago. And it was like, okay, so 20 years of 10,000 steps a day, and then equals how many steps have you put on that ankle that you've been compensating around? Guess what? Your brain is really good at figuring out ways to try to make itself more, to try to make the body more efficient, put less stress on the body. So for 20 years, you've been compensating around this thing, even if it's not symptomatic, there are likely things going on within that area that then may be causing your knees, your hips, your low back to have to take on more stress. And so exactly like you're saying, like it can be, you know, the entirety of an area, or it can be individual pieces of the area from a muscle perspective, that when one of those is out, it's going to cause other muscles, other areas to have to overwork and take on more stress. With MAT, we're able to go and evaluate each of those.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's great. So I actually, as we're talking, I was just thinking, you know, one of the common injuries that we see hit particularly middle-aged men for some reason, is Achilles tendon rupture.
Yes, right? Yeah, totally.
And this just, I'm asking because actually this just happened to my son's girlfriend's dad. And he was out playing basketball with his buddies and boom, like his Achilles ruptured. And so my question to you is, this is not an uncommon injury. This is like, this is actually a really common thing that happens to middle-aged guys. Would you say that, is it possible that these injuries happen because there's some kind of, have you seen a pattern where there's some kind of deficiency that ultimately like builds up the pressure until finally the tendon, Achilles tendon, until the tendon can't stand it anymore and just blows?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And if we can pause for a second. I'm sorry, I need to turn my, Okay. So, from an Achilles perspective, you know, one thing that, again, Greg Roscoff, the developer of MAT, talks about is how, your ligaments are kind of like your guardrails. Okay. And you're, you can, you know, look at tendons in a similar way. Okay. So if you have a winding mountain road, all right, and you have a guardrail along the side of the road, like it's really nice having that guardrail there, but that does not necessarily give you permission to take your hands off the wheel and your feet off the pedals, right?
Like use it as a guide.
Exactly. Right. You still need that active control. Your muscles are the active controllers of your joints, are the active controllers. Okay. And so what we see with ligament injuries like ACL, but specifically with Achilles stuff, is when there is an a group of muscles that is not functioning well enough, all right, that can start to put excessive stress on our more passive tissues, our ligaments, our cartilage, our tendons, okay? And so with the Achilles, it might be that the muscles that are supposed to like dorsiflex the ankle, for example, are not working well enough. And so because of that, the ankle is not able to dorsiflex well enough. And when they go into more excessive dorsiflexion, it puts more extreme stress on the Achilles tendon. Okay. It might be something with the knee where the knee is not able to flex well enough, not able to bend well enough. And so when they land, when they try to absorb that force, if their knees are not able to bend well enough, again, it might put more force going into dorsiflexion, which then puts more force going through more force passively through the Achilles tendon. So with Achilles tendon ruptures, there's almost, I have yet to see a time where there hasn't been a deficiency in the muscular system from a contraction standpoint. But here's the thing, where that deficiency is different for every person. Because it could be the foot, it could be the ankle, it could be the knee, it could be the hip. It could be something in their back that has caused other things to have to compensate for a longer period of time. And then the Achilles tendon was just the most vulnerable area at that moment of landing, at that moment of impact. And so the short answer is yes, but the longer answer is yes, but I don't know exactly where within the body it is.
Yeah, because it's going to depend on the person. That's so interesting. Okay, so let's back up a little minute and talk about how does MAT compare to some of the other disciplines that people are more familiar with? So
yeah,
I mean, MAT's not, as far as I can tell, it's not as widely available, nor is it as widely known.
Yeah.
Some of the other modalities that people will have a tendency to move towards when they think they've got some kind of an injury or they need a realignment of some kind. So
yeah,
we'll go one at a time. How does it compare to, for example, chiropractic? Because chiropractic is a big, and I know my chiropractor does something called ART, which is really unpleasant. MAT, you guys, I have to tell you, is actually not unpleasant for the most part. It's not.
That's great to hear.
ART is a bit like somebody poking on your nerve, not your nerve, but it's like they find pressure points and they go at it, right?
Yeah.
It can be really not the best 5 minutes of your day, but let's talk about chiropractic in general versus compared to MAT.
All right, cool. So I'm going to talk about like strict chiropractic because chiropractors will put in
there's
a bunch of
ranges,
other stuff,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about, say, like, you know, spinal adjustments versus MAT. All right. The focus of MAT is improving the contraction of your muscles. Okay. Mm-hmm. Improving the contraction of your muscles. Now, when your muscles contract better, your joints are able to move better. Your joints will be able to be in better positions, be held in better alignment. Okay. So when we're looking at MAT, that is the sole focus of improving the ability for muscles to contract. Now we can look at, you know, again, chiropractic, where we might be looking at how the spine is aligned and manually trying to manipulate that so it is in a better alignment. With MAT, we'd be looking at, well, what muscles should be moving us into that alignment? What muscles should be holding us into that alignment? And where is that? Where are their dysfunctions within those group of muscles? And then let's improve upon that.
Right. And so, but the chiropractic, they do talk about the nervous system, don't they? As well.
Yes.
Like they don't, and the approach is quite different. There's a bit more of a snap, crackle, pop approach versus, versus MAT that really doesn't, you're not manipulating joints if my memory serves, you're not particularly manipulating joints. You're really, and it seems to me that they almost would go hand in hand because, right? Because if you really have something that's kind of out of alignment,
right.
The challenge I have found sometimes with chiropractic is you put it back into alignment, but all the muscles around it have adapted to that subluxation or misalignment or whatever. And they don't necessarily give up the ghost that easily. So quite often you'll pop right back out after your treatment.
Yep, exactly. No, so that's a great point So when the spine is aligned, the nerve roots coming out of the spine will have, you know, a better opportunity to get signals to the periphery, to the muscles, to the organs, everything like that. So there's tremendous benefit in that. Mm-hmm. To your point is if the muscles then don't have the capacity or the ability to kind of help keep that alignment, then the positioning may be short-lived. Additionally, if the brain doesn't recognize that the muscles that are supposed to be keeping the person in the alignment are actually operational, then it may continue to compensate around muscles that are at one point dysfunctional. And so with MAT, there's this relearning process where you're literally like reteaching your brain how to access these muscles again and do so under different scenarios that you might encounter throughout your everyday life. So that when you encounter those scenarios, your brain doesn't default back to your old ways of compensation, but it can re-access the muscles that were offline for a bit and now have been brought back online.
Yeah. So it's almost like a reawakening with the MAT, right? It's a reawakening of the connections. Okay. So that's classic chiropractic. Were you going to address a different branch of chiropractic or do we move on?
Well, No, I just think that chiropractic can be a very wide-reaching net. And so I just wanted to be a little bit more specific with the response.
For sure. Yeah. Because there's chiropractors also that incorporate kinesiology into their practice as well, which I think goes a little bit deeper into maybe the muscular and nervous system and those interactions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about osteopathy? Now that's something I personally haven't explored, and Lord knows I should have, because I've been injured enough in my life.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. So again, I think the biggest differentiator between MAT, and a lot of other modalities is the singular focus on assessing for where the muscles aren't contracting and then improving that. And while it may seem very limited in scope as far as, hey, this is like the only thing that we're looking at, where can your muscles not contract and improving that ability to contract, the effects of that are so wide reaching as far as, again, joint mobility, posture, changes in heart rate variability, changes in strength and output, changes in endurance, changes in just like, if you're feeling better throughout the day, like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, like I'm just in a better mood because I'm feeling better throughout my day. Changes in people's ability to sleep in different positions, which then can have an effect throughout, the rest of their life. So the ability for the neuromuscular system to impact so many other aspects of our life is very, very great. The scope of MAT is very, very narrow in its ability to improve the ability for muscles to contract. So from an osteopathy standpoint, I don't know that there is another modality out there that looks at the neuromuscular system in the exact same way and assesses things in the exact same way that MAT does. That really is the big, I think, differentiator. Like, I'll talk to other professionals. They'll be like, oh yeah, I do, activation of muscles. And then they'll be like, all right, let me throw this band around your hips and we'll do some glute bridges and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, here's the thing. What's happening in those scenarios is your body is getting better at the compensations it already has. Yeah. What's not happening is the muscles that are more dormant or not working as well are actually directly being addressed. And that's one of the really unique aspects of MAT.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's so true. I was just, and I don't know if this is in your, there's a couple of different questions I have for you. So one of them is, a lot of people talk about, and this might sound a little woo, so this could be outside your world, but I have a feeling it might not be. A lot of people talk about emotions getting trapped in trapped, causing muscular dysfunction. And emotions are inherently linked to the nervous system. As a matter of fact, I just interviewed someone recently, the podcast isn't out yet, where she was talking about emotions having such an impact on the brain that it could actually almost at an extreme cause paralysis in a person or cause extreme pain in their system. Does MAT ever venture into that kind of softer science or that world of, because you talked about it a little bit. You talk about, using MAT to resolve restrictions of mobility and pain in the body is going to show up as feeling better, having better energy and being happier. But do you think there might be like a deeper kind of emotional thing going on there somehow?
Great question. It's certainly possible. This is what I'll say from my experience is from me personally with my body, when I start to get emotionally stressed, I notice certain areas of my body tightening up. Okay. And then when I start to get my body worked on more with MAT and get my body, the muscular function improved, as I get emotionally stressed, those areas aren't tightening up as much. Okay. Now, that also being said, is I also have a higher resilience to getting emotionally stressed. So it kind of goes both ways, right? Like the emotional feelings I have don't manifest as great in my body when my neuromuscular system is working better. And also my emotional resiliency to things is much higher, meaning I don't get as emotionally stressed when my neuromuscular system is working better. Okay. Seeing things with my own heart rate variability, as far as like if I'm in a more stressed state, my heart rate variability is lower, like emotionally stressed state. Okay. Again, the better my neuromuscular system functions, all right, the higher my heart rate variability is. And it's a very quick turnaround time from getting work done with MAT to seeing improvements in heart rate variability. I mean, I'm talking like over the course of an hour, I've been able to track it pre and post with my clients, with myself, and a noticeable improvement in heart rate variability over the course of that hour of an MAT session. And so it's a very quick thing. It's not like you need to wait till the next day or anything like that. So I don't have experience going into like deep-rooted emotional issues with people. That is outside of my area of expertise. But just speaking from my own personal experience of what I noticed within myself, when my neuromuscular system functions better, my emotional tolerance is much higher.
And regulation.
Exactly. And the effect that it has on my system is much lower.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. Okay. Another question for you. I have this great shirt that I bought in a yoga studio once that says fascia is the new black. So fascia, I feel, is, you know, we talk about tendons and ligaments and muscles and nerves and not enough people talk about fascia. And fascia at the end of the day is going to determine in many cases whether we shrink as we age or whether we maintain mobility. And fascia definitely, I think my understanding is, over your lifetime, you sustain different types of injuries if you're an active person, and you get scarring and little adhesions where the fascia, so now your fascia no longer slides over your muscles anymore. But there's a big story about the nervous system and fascia as well. So do you guys, in the discipline of muscular activation technique, do you address fascia as well? Like, do you...
Great question. So we don't address fascia directly. Again, our scope is simply on the muscles. And so, look, fascia is getting a lot of, you know, a lot of like positive exposure as far as its ability to, you know, influence health and performance and well-being and everything like that. But what we see time and time again is that when the muscles are working better, all the stuff that is typically accredited to fascia, you know, dysfunction within the fascia doesn't seem to be as big of an issue. So is it because it was not as big of an issue to begin with and it was actually a muscular issue? Is it because getting the muscles working better also helps to get the fascia working better? I don't know. But what I see is all the things that people talk about as far as like, you know, oh, the fascia is tight or, you know, the fascia is restricting or anything like that. Getting the I should say this, doing the MAT process seems to not only help the muscles contract better, but if there are those fascial things going on as well, a lot of that seems to be taken care of as well.
Yeah, I wonder if it has to do with accessing the nervous system. Like, it's not a stretch to say that the nerves that are innervating a muscle are going to have branches that are going to connect to the fascia in that same area as well. And seeing as MAT very much goes at this by hacking into the nervous system or by activating the nervous system, I don't think it's a stretch to think that the fascia is benefiting in some ways.
Oh, well, I have to imagine there.
From
the
work
absolutely
that you're doing. So, so let's describe an MAT session to people a little bit, because it's really, it's quite a unique experience. I'll describe my first experience with it, with Eric. Perfect. And I actually, at the beginning, I was just like, I think this man's a little cuckoo. Had he not been married to a friend of mine at the time, I would have probably like kind of backed out of the room slowly and said, you know, maybe this isn't such a great idea. So the first thing Eric asked me to do was walk away from him and then walk towards him. And I did this a few times, and by the time I came back, he started riffing off a whole bunch of things that he's observed. He's like, have you ever noticed that? And I don't remember what it was, but it was things like, I mean, obviously he's looking for the alignment of your feet, which is going to affect your knees and your hips and all the things. But have you ever noticed that your left arm doesn't swing properly when you're walking? Or he might, and it's funny because I now watch this in other people and I'm like, ooh, nice. I don't know what this means, but you know, people whose arms like kind of do this weird swing around the back or around the front or, you know, obviously he's like, oh yeah. And your, this shoulder is higher than that shoulder and your head's kind of tilted over to this side. And I'm sitting there going, dude, I was just walking a straight line. Just like, and I think what he was really referring to is all of the compensations that are happening in the body so that you can walk the straight line in spite of all the dysfunctions, all the horrible things you've done to yourself in CrossFit and in all the different things that you've done in your life.
Sure.
So what you guys are observing is all of these little compensations and deficiencies, if you will. And then when he puts you on the table, this was a whole other experience. Like at one point, I vividly remember having to stick my tongue out the left side of my mouth, have one, I think it was my third or fourth finger on my temple over here, another finger on my rib over there. And then I had to hold my leg out to the side and was physically incapable of doing it. And then he's like, okay, cool. And then he goes and he kind of rub-a-dubs one area or two areas. And then next thing you know, you're sticking your tongue out again, putting your two fingers, and you can't move your leg for love or money. So maybe you can unpack that in a more professional way.
I love it. I love it. All right. So, So a lot of professions will start with a kind of a general, what we might consider to be more of a general overview of the body. So talking about like the, you know, the walking down and back. All right. So this is kind of like the 10,000 foot overview of kind of like what's going on with your system. Is anything just kind of sticking out, jumping out as far as like, oh yeah, okay, there are some definite things. And Eric has a very, you know, a keen eye. So he's able to pick up a bunch of stuff. But what really matters for us as MAT practitioners is how well your body moves when you are lying on the table. Okay. So looking at how well the right side of your body moves relative to the left side of your body, with the idea being that your muscles are the things that are supposed to be moving your joints. All right. Mm-hmm. And so if your joints aren't moving as well on one side of the body as the other, then we should be looking at the muscles that are supposed to be creating that motion on the side that is more limited. All right. So we'll start, you know, you can do a general overview. Sometimes people will do like squats or single leg squats or, you know, whatever, overhead square, whatever, walking, you know, it's just kind of like a general, all right, here are some things that, you know, might be going on. Then we can start to evaluate joint by joint, hips, knees, ankles, all the different joints of the feet, you know, the spine, shoulders, everywhere throughout. Okay. We'll kind of piece together more or less like a story, like, okay, here are the bigger limitations that we're seeing with, you know, within your body. Maybe it's these motions in your right hip and these motions in your left hip and these motions in your trunk. Okay. And we'll say, okay, out of all those limitations or all those asymmetries, here are kind of the biggest ones and here's how they may be relating to one another. All right. And so we'll say, okay, let's say kind of lifting the leg or hip flexion on your right leg is like the biggest limitation that we see. All right. We'll go in and we'll start kind of testing the different muscles that should be, you know, helping to lift the leg, to should be flexing the hip. And what we're looking for with MAT is not like a brake test, like how, like you push as hard as you can, I'm going to push as hard as I can and see when it goes. It's more of a kind of reflexive response test. And that's really one of the big differences with MAT is how we go about testing things. In our coursework, we spend so much time really drilling in the specificities of the test, not only the pressure that we're using, but the exact positioning for each test. And for each side of the body, we have 276 muscles on each side of the body. So it's 552 muscles throughout the entire body that we're needing to learn like these specific tests for. Okay. So we go through. And when we find muscles that are, the other thing that's unique about MAT with our testing is how we are like rating it or grading it. It's not like a sliding scale, like, you know, from like, you know, weak to kind of weak to moderate to, you know, strong or whatever. It's binary. It's yes or no. Okay. Was it rock solid or was there some kind of give or wiggle or was it, you know, completely is yes or no. Right. And so if we find something that is anything but rock solid when we go to test it, that's when we'll go in and we can have a couple different options. We can manually stimulate the tissues in kind of what you were experiencing as far as like you were saying, the rub-a-dub of like, you know, pushing, you know, where the muscles attach to the body. And then we can go back and we can, you know, retest it and see, okay, now that awareness has been created, now that muscle has been, you know, stimulated, can you now hold this position and is it rock solid? And so that's kind of the MAT process. And so we work through, you know, our whole group of muscles and, you know, at the end we say, okay, cool. Now, are you moving more symmetrically when you get up and walk? You know, are the things that we are noticing before more or less resolved? And again, it's like, every layer of assessment is just a little bit more zoomed in. You know, if we see, okay, you know, for the most part, things are resolved from the walking, but there's still something a little bit going on. It's like, okay, cool. There's more to assess for, there's more to address. Let's go checking joint by joint. And then specifically what exact muscles are not, you know, working, you know, or have some kind of dysfunction within your system.
Hey folks, I just want to take a moment to thank our final sponsor for this episode and with a great message. Look, if you're transitioning into this spring looking for a little extra something to kickstart your season, I strongly recommend adding nitric oxide support from Berkeley Life to your daily supplement stack. It's kind of like nitric oxide helps to extend my energy throughout the day. It gets and keeps my blood flowing. It helps me through my workouts. Even improves my focus. I love stepping into the day feeling energetic, engaged, and mentally ready to juggle a full podcaster schedule. As my listeners, I know how hard you work to feel and perform your best, so you don't want to leave anything on the table. Just go to berkeleylife.com and use code NIDDBL to get plugged into the power of nitric oxide. And that code, NIDDBL, will give you 10% off your first order as well as free shipping. And now let's get back to the episode. And so I would imagine like things like some of the common things that people are walking around with are like rotator cuff injuries that just, you know, rotator cuff injuries, it's that injury that just won't resolve. It just won't go away, right?
Yep.
Or you get a supraspinatus, which is that little tiny, tiny, it's a ligament, right? Is it a ligament or a tendon?
So supraspinatus is a muscle.
It's got like the tiniest, like this is like, you know, Mother Nature's evil joke on you because it's got the tiniest little passage to go through. So the minute it gets irritated, it swells and the passage isn't big enough. And now you're in this like perpetual cycle of misery. And it takes forever to heal. Usually you kind of give up and one day you wake up and you realize, oh, it's better.
right.
You just kind of give up the ghost. But with those types of injuries that very often are layered and they're old and they've been there for a long time and usually kind of they're not that bad. It's not an acute because it goes from acute to kind of like more of like a chronic. I can deal with it, but just don't ask me to do a shoulder press or certain exercises, right? As long as we don't piss it off, we have an agreement, right? As long as I don't do certain exercises, we're good. If I insist on doing this one exercise, we're not so good. And I lose the battle every time. So with injuries, with those types of injuries that have kind of gone into, you know, it's a little bit like what you're talking about. The body has figured out ways to compensate and build layers of, okay, if this happens, then we'll do this and we'll do that. Just kind of almost like giving in to a toddler having a tantrum.
Sure.
Does that involve, do you find that that involves like multiple sessions because you're trying to unpack layers of compensations and dysfunctions kind of thing? Like,
yeah, definitely. And the thing about MAT is like, we can get a result really in the short term, being like over the course of the session, but the real magic is when we can start to go session after session after session and really start to, like you're saying, kind of unpack and pull back layers that have developed over, you know, years or decades with somebody. Because, you know, for example, you're talking about, you know, the supraspinatus, maybe it's like a shoulder impingement thing, a rotator cuff thing. You know, that could be like, hey, the supraspinatus directly needs to be addressed. A lot of times it's like the shoulder blade that needs to be addressed and the trunk that needs to be addressed. And oh yeah, by the way, like if your feet are pronated and so your trunk is a little bit, you know, more kyphotic through the thoracic spine now, you know, more than it normally would be. Now all of a sudden your shoulder can't upwardly rotate as much. And so actually we need to not only address the shoulder and the shoulder blade and the trunk, but we also need to make sure that your feet can, you know, go into a better position. And so there are a lot of layers there. And I think for some clients that is challenging to wrap their mind around because they're used to a system of like, you know, local symptom, local problem, you know, local resolution. And it's like, okay, no, there's actually a reason why this keeps showing up and why it just didn't kind of take care of itself on its own. It's because there are layers here. And the longer those layers have been present, the more reps your brain has gotten at kind of figuring out its way around that. And so we need to be like, okay, look, we need to kind of like, if you learned a foreign language in high school, the longer it's been since you've spoken that language, it's just a distant thing, but mm-hmm. you can get it back easier and easier as long as you start practicing it again. Okay. So it's the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, if this is Spanish here and it's been a long time since I've learned Spanish, I'm pointing to my shoulder, I can go and I can start taking lessons again and it'll start coming back little by little. But it's with the repeated lessons that's like, okay, yeah, now it's back to how it was.
Yeah. So you're kind of unlearning the patterns that that have been serving you till now, right?
Yes.
But to allow the innervation of the muscles that should be working, getting them going mm-hmm. again. Plus, you'd probably have some inherent weaknesses in those muscles that have been just sitting around doing nothing all
Absolutely.
This time. Not yep. to mention, and it's interesting you mentioned that because the part about the back and the feet and the this and the mm-hmm. that, because, for example, I think when I went to see Eric, I'd like, I've got this rib that just keeps popping out. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, had very little to do with the rib and everything to do with other parts of my body.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That, the tendency is to say, okay, well, let's just pop that baby back in, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Only it's going to come right back out again, generally speaking, just because there's a shoulder thing and a hip thing and a foot thing. One of the stories that I actually think it was Dana, Eric's wife, who told me this, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you've heard this story, but when she first met Eric, she was a volleyball player. Mm-hmm. She was a competitive volleyball player. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how this came about, but maybe she was having a foot problem or whatever. And Eric was working on her body to help mm-hmm. resolve some issues. And he said, look, I'm going to have to do some work on your feet, but you're going to be really mad at me. And she's like, what are you talking about? He goes, you're going to be mad at me because none of your shoes are going to fit you properly anymore. Like you're going to go up a half a shoe size. And she's like, what yep. are you talking about? And yeah. it turned out that in her case, and maybe this is the case for many people, probably it mm-hmm. is, there was so much restriction that her toes had kind of pulled back. And so let's say she was wearing a size 9. Mm-hmm. She really needed a 9.5. And by the time he was done with her, and God knows, I don't know how she still decided to date the guy after this, because that would piss me off if I had to throw away all my shoes. But by the time he was done with her, sure enough, like the whole foot had, and we talk about how many joints and muscles in the foot, the whole mm-hmm. foot had assumed like almost a different alignment that yep. meant that she was wearing a half size shoe bigger than she'd started yeah. out her whole life with.
Yes, absolutely. It's so funny you share that. I just posted something on my Instagram saying that exact same thing about myself. And all through college and all growing up, I wore a size 12.5 for my shoes. Okay. For my basketball shoes. Okay. Since I started getting my feet worked on with MAT, I hadn't put on basketball shoes in probably a decade. And then one of my players comes in. He's like, hey, like I got some shoes, do you want to try them on? I'm like, sure. He goes, what size do you wear? I'm like, well, 12.5, maybe a 13. He's like, well, all right, here, try these 13s on. And like, I couldn't get my foot in them. And he's like, well, I got these 14s if you want to give those a shot. And they fit perfectly, like a size and a half more. No, I'm not joking at all. So now when it comes to basketball shoes, I went from wearing a size 12.5 to a size 14. And it is simply because I got my feet working better. Like I talked about all my sprained ankles, like my feet were so rigid. They were like bricks. Okay. And mm-hmm. then now all of a sudden they start getting worked on and all of a sudden they start moving better and my toes can spread more and they can move and bend the way they're supposed to move. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah. Okay. Like I need much bigger shoes. So absolutely. That definitely
that's
happens.
Hilarious. And what's incredible about that, I think, is how that now transfers all the way up the system, probably yep. into your neck,
yes.
to the top of your head, like probably yep. the satellite impact, if you will, mm-hmm. are going to move right up.
Yes.
Through the whole musculoskeletal system. Like this is not a foot problem Absolutely. Necessarily.
Right. Exactly. Like my hips started moving better. My back started moving, my shoulders opened up, like you're saying, all the way up to my neck. Once I started to get my feet working better. Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. So is there anything else we should talk about MAT that I haven't asked? I mean, I've asked about all the things that I know to ask, but sometimes I know that I don't know what I don't know. So
no, that's fair. That's fair. So, I think one of the coolest things about MAT is its constant evolution. I don't know when you met with Eric, but,
Years ago.
So over the last decade, the MAT RX process has become very well established, and there are more and more MAT RX practitioners. That's like the highest level of MAT. There's a STEM process now where you're able to use a very specialty, high-end kind of STEM or TENS unit called the NUX machine, and use that as part of the MAT RX process to help, reestablish the ability for muscle to contract. And then just recently, just a couple of weeks back, Eric and I were both at a class down in Florida for the MAT athlete system. And it's a system that is specifically designed for work with athletes, for individuals who have very, very high neuromuscular integrity and helping to kind of move through their system really quickly. So that's one of the most exciting things about MAT is just its constant evolution, the constant refinement of the different skills. It's not something where it's like, okay, if you learned MAT and it's been 5 years since you learned anything new, like it's going to be a completely different skill set if you try to go and, learn it again now, as far as just like the specificity of the tests and everything like that. So I think that's one of the most exciting things about MAT. And then the other thing is just understanding where it fits within the spectrum of exercise. With MAT, again, we're looking at reestablishing the ability for muscles to contract, okay? Versus, a lot of times, again, I kind of talked about like the activation exercises and stuff like that, where it's more or less like using the muscles that are already working well. Right. And, just getting those muscles stronger. With MAT, we're really looking at the muscles that aren't working well, bringing those back into the picture. So then when you go and work out, or you do your traditional activation exercise, or you just, go for a run or lift weights or whatever, now you have all the players on the board to go and do that. And so we find that from a recovery perspective, from an exercise preparation perspective, you're not beating MAT. Like so vital to make sure that you're able to keep exercising.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's interesting about it, and I mean, obviously your passion really lies with high performance athletes, which is understandable because for those guys, even if they seem to be doing perfectly well, even a 1% improvement is going to show up, right?
Huge,
like for
huge,
a competitive runner or sprinter or whatever. But I think also this podcast has an overarching theme of longevity and aging well. I think that for the population of people who may not consider themselves athletes, but who are acknowledging that I better stay active if I want to keep my act together into my later years, I would say that this is a modality to access, because especially as we're aging and it becomes harder to build and maintain muscle, those deficiencies, I would think, are going to get amplified tenfold. And as sarcopenia, sarcopenia is a horrible word. You never would have, you think of our sarcopenia as a thing that an 80 or a 90 year old is dealing with, but sarcopenia is actually the loss of muscle tissue. And that starts to happen, by the time you're in your 50s, it starts to get harder and harder to build muscle. And if you're not using it, you're going to lose it. But I would think, like, as a modality to access for people who are moving through their decades, it probably becomes just as important as if you're a high performance athlete, because you're just not going to be able to, and it's going to show up in more miserable ways as you get older.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is for most people, they don't realize it's happening until it's been going on for a while. And so with something like MAT, if you are in your, mid 30s, mid 40s, mid 50s, and you're like, I enjoy being active and I want to make sure that I can keep being active, like MAT is a huge part of that. If you are someone like, I would be active, but it just doesn't feel good for my body. Yeah. Like, every time I run,
getting injured.
Exactly. Like MAT can be a huge part of that. If you're like, hey, I need to get my hip replaced, and they're telling me that I need to strengthen my body before. Like, I've had so many people come in, they're like, hey, I just need to be here for the 6 weeks up into my surgery, and they recover so much faster after their surgery because their body is more operational, closer to operating how it should be when they go into their surgery. So it has so many different places with within the population at large, and especially when you're talking about longevity, physical freedom, being able to kind of do what you want for as long as you want in your life. Your muscles are going to be the key to that, and making sure they can contract well to begin with. That is, in my opinion, kind of step number one.
100%. It's even going to contribute to bone health in the end, right? Which is the other obsession of the aging population.
Strong
bones, and you can't have strong bones if you don't have functional muscles to
even
secrete the secrete the chemical messengers that encourage the bones to get stronger.
Totally. Even something as simple as like opening up jars or bags of chips. Like, I'll have clients who come in and they're you know, 70s
or 80s.
And they're like, they're like, we got to work on my hands today because I couldn't open my chips this week. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, like, I don't care if you're eating chips or not. Let's work on your hands. Let's get those better. And then it's not my place, right? Like, I'm not the nutrition guy. I'm the muscle guy. Exactly. I'm the muscle guy. So I'm going to help them, you know, do what they want. So
then we're going to have them reconsider their decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. No, but point being is
100%.
You know, like, you know, grip strength is something that you don't realize is getting worse until it's really bad. And so there are so many muscles in the hands and wrists, there's 52 on each side that we're able to assess and address with MAT. And, you know, that can make all the difference for people.
For sure. And grip strength is a predictor of longevity and mortality at the end of the day, right? Grip strength is a massive issue. There's gait speed, grip strength, your forced expiratory volume, and your VO2 max. Those are four really important landmarks, if you will, in terms of how well a person's aging. Okay, cool. So my last question for you is, how the heck do we find an MAT practitioner?
Great question.
So for people who are near you, they can come see you, because this is not something you can do by Zoom. This is a hands-on modality. So I want to stress that to people. You know, since over the last 4 years, we've gotten so used to doing things remotely. This is not one of those things. This is one of those things you got to physically be with the person.
Absolutely. So the easiest way is if you go to the website, muscleactivation.com, that's a MAT headquarters, like, main website. And on there, there will be options to find a specialist, find a practitioner in your area. And they are separated by geographic location, but also by certification level. Nice. So there'll be people who are at the specialist level, master's level, RX, it'll have all the badges. And so you'll be able to see, okay, who's close to me, who's most highly certified, and then the contact information will be on there. So that's the easiest way.
Awesome. So Charlie, why don't you tell us where you are and how people can find you? Because you're still practicing.
So,
and you said you and your wife do the same. She also is a practitioner, right?
Yes. Yep. Amazing. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So our location is in Schaumburg, Illinois, so northwest of Chicago. Our website is matschaumburg.com. And I'm easiest to connect with on Instagram. It's just at Charlie Cates, my first and last name, Cates with a C.
Yeah, no, your Instagram channel is actually great. We'll definitely send people
there.
Thank
you. I appreciate it.
You do some really great education there, and you've got great energy. So
thank you.
Well, Charlie, this has been a pleasure. This has been it was an unexpected, very happy surprise for me.
Awesome.
Then we get to talk and we get to dive into MAT, because I definitely think it's one of those things that more people need to know about and access be happier and healthier and more mobile. So thank
absolutely.
You very much.
Natalie, this was so much fun. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Hey guys, before we wrap up today's episode, I want to thank everyone who has left a 5-star rating and a review for the podcast. If you haven't yet left a rating and review and you love this episode, I would so appreciate it if you did. Each and everyone truly helps the overall growth and success of the podcast, which allows me to continue to bring you more episodes and helps me to help more people to optimize their health and longevity. All you have to do, if you're on Apple or on Spotify, is open up Apple Podcasts or Spotify and take 2 seconds to click your rating and leave even just a 1-word review. Thank you so much for your continued support and for tuning into today's episode. If you have any questions about the episode or any questions you would like me to answer on the podcast, always feel free to reach out on Instagram at Natalie Nittam. I wish you all the best this week in biohacking your superhuman performance.
Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, because that's what helps us to be heard and to be seen. If you'd like to connect with me directly, or if you'd like to leave any comments, or if you have any questions about this episode, please reach out to me directly through my website, natnidham.com. And of course, if you're not already a member of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance community on Facebook, that's where you'll find me every day. It's a short application. Just answer a couple of questions and you're in and interfacing with other amazing biohackers. Thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode.